Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. What we desire most today, God, is able to see you, God, as you are, to have your glory manifest upon us. We pray for your presence, your delightful, healing, rebuking presence. We pray for that, God. We pray for our hearts to be renewed and purified, because our hearts need to be purified. Father, we pray that you would weigh, God, upon us with your word, God, your good word, that your word would just do surgery in our hearts, expose us, God, and heal us and forgive us. We pray that we would come before your feet and to be undistracted in our affection and attention to you today. So we pray for that. Lord, we pray for our children and that your words would impact them and change their lives. We pray for our teachers, that you would strengthen them. Lord, you would bless them and that your words would be effective through them. We just thank you, God, for what you're doing in our church, God, in our members, to move us, God, to follow you wherever you lead us, and to trust you in all that you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to talk about the emotion of too much. So we've been talking a lot about emotions, because emotions is something that God's given us. We talked about the two components of emotions. Emotions are not an indicator of truth. So when you feel a certain way, you want to desperately believe it's pointing you to the truth. It is not. And current studies in neuroscience, not just current, actually, it's been a 30-year ongoing accumulation of research. Now we understand our emotions. We understand what it really is indicating. Our emotions are really indicating how we predict our circumstances. That's it. So, to say it in another way, emotion is an indicator of what you want and what your mindset is about what you want. Or what you don't want and what your mindset is about. So your attitude and your prediction about what you want or don't want. What do you think about pain? Whether you want that pain or not. An athlete wants a certain amount of pain. You know, a soldier wants a certain amount of pain. You know, too much and you'll get injured. Not enough. And there's this like movie about a boy, you know, a teenager who's born in Mars. And he falls in love with a girl. Somehow he makes his way to Earth. I hope you're not thinking, oh, my, spoiler alert, you know, like I was going to watch that. Anyways, the point is, let's just say we're going to, I don't want to spoil it too much, okay? But anyway, the point is, this boy comes to Earth, and yeah, I'm going to spoil a little bit. Anyway, but he, obviously, there's gravity on Earth in a way that's not there on Mars, because Earth is bigger than Mars. And so he's, you know, bleeding out, organ failures, and he's got to go back, you know? And I'm not going to, you know, but the point is, all right, it's too much. The weight. So if you've taken physics or anything like that, there's a difference between mass and weight. Weight has to do with gravity. And so there's a gravity here on Earth, and we feel the weight of that gravity. And so that pressure, right, that boy felt because it wasn't there in Mars was killing him. And I would venture to say that many of us. That's our view of stress. Our view of stress is that weight, that mental weight, the situations that you are faced with, and whether, here's the thing, whether it's too much or not, whether you want stress. How many people want stress in their lives? When you feel stressed, you go, man, like no pain, no gain. How many of you think like that? Okay, you guys are pretty sane. But let's just define stress. It's not an easy definition. I've been all over the internet, you know, looking through journals, but there is no consensus on stress. But there's some common understanding about what stress is. So let's read it. Definition. It's a physical, mental, or emotional strain or tension. Used to be mainly a physics term. When you talk about stress, it's like that kind of constant tension on a bolt, if you will, you know? And if a bolt snaps, it's because it had too much stress. But it's that physical, mental, emotional strain. And many of us have strain. If you have children, you have strain. If you have friends, you have strain. If you have parents, you have strain. And here's the thing about strain. Most of the strain in your life comes from relationships. And that's kind of odd because the greatest commandments in Scripture, all of the pretty much the Sermon on the Mount, everything about the gospel is really about relationships, about building relationships. So when we avoid stress, we think there are things, we're stressed because of the things we got to do. And I want us to rethink why we're stressed and to be clear about that. You know, one of the things about, you know, like boxing or being a soldier is a lot of it is really about in that heated moment when fists are coming at you, right? I used to box when I was a teenager, and then I was a little bit, but I was at basic training, and there was this, and I realized I didn't have a good body for boxing. I was like in a certain weight class, and I used to play soccer, and I was like 128 pounds or something like that, all right? So it's pretty skinny. Right? I was like 5'11" at the time. And you know, most of my weight was in my legs. And then it was like opposite for like this boxer. He had like sticks for legs and it was like all muscle up here, you know? But I remember he started swinging and my natural reaction was to turn around, right? Turn my back to him. And so for people who, you know, are used to fighting, or if you're a soldier and you're coming under fire, it's natural to just duck. You have to kind of now rehearse and practice that in the midst of that, you're thinking and you're going forward, right? You're thinking and you're going forward. You know, that's what they train you if you're a policeman, if you're a soldier, so that, you know, the advantage you have in training is not to be reactionary. That's the advantage. And that's kind of like stress. If you don't think through and talk to yourself when you're stressed, you're probably succumbing to your old nature's reaction to stress. So we have, if you're a believer, you have the old nature and you have a new nature. And if you're one of those people who only reacts, you don't really rehearse the truths and you're not trained to handle stress. You're probably reacting to stress. And that's okay, because that's why we're talking about this. You're untrained in stress. Now, there's stress management classes and things like that, but it's like, and here's the disadvantage of being a non-believer, is that you only have the old nature. It's kind of like Humpty Dumpty. You know, when it's broken, it's broken. It's hard to put it back together. That's why God, when you become a Christian, doesn't repair the old heart. You would think he would, you know, but he doesn't. He gives you a new heart. You know, I don't understand all the theology behind why God does that, but he doesn't. He gives you a new heart. And there's like this war now between the new heart and the old heart. That's why, you know, we're going to take a look at how to think about stress as a believer. And I hope that there's a gospel there. There's a good news there for you. The other definition is this feeling expressed when a person perceives, and that's important, that demands exceed the personal and social resources. Now, here's the thing about stress. Okay. There's nothing like stress that makes us so different than God. See, God is never stressed because it's never too much. It's never too much. If there's a quality, you know, if there's an emotion that God cannot identify with, is too much. God is never stressed. He's never strained. You understand? There's a question. I remember, you know, I used to think about this a long time ago. And then recently, my visit to California, a friend's son asked the question, you know, hey, can God create a rock that he cannot lift? You know, it's one of those catch-22 questions, you know. I gotcha, you know. And I was like, well, here's the thing. Here's the honest, absolute truth. God cannot create a rock that he cannot lift because God is omnipotent. There are things that God cannot do. And I think we had thought this. God can't forgive sin without payments. That's why he sent his son, because God is also love. You know, to die for us. There's things that God cannot do. And one of the things that God cannot do is to create a situation for himself that he can't handle. But then you wonder, well, why are we in that situation? Well, because we're not God. But here's another thing. For those who play sports, okay, one thing about getting coached is you learn the proper technique, right? And sometimes we call that proper form or good form, right? So, case in point, you know, you got Tiger Woods, amazing golfer, but he favored one knee, you know, and he didn't, and he favored it in a way, he went to it all the time, and it just wore it out prematurely. So now he's having to learn a different form, you know, and I was playing basketball, and this guy who used to play college, he goes, like, Henry, that's not good form. When you shoot, you know, it's like you want to use your legs. You want to jump up. You know, you want to get your whole body into this. You know, when you play golf, you know, and here's the term that a lot of people use in sports. Your core. You got to use your core. Swimming, you know, when you're like starting out swimming, a lot of people think kicking is like this, you know, and it's just moving your legs, you know, like this. No, you got to like, you gotta twist your body. It's like, you know, it's like weird. It's like fish, you know, slithering through the water. But it's all about your core, right? So, you know, now, you know, big thing is you gotta work on your core, right? Whether you're playing golf, you know, when you serve, you know, you twist your body to get your core into the motion. So, like, but here's the thing. When it comes to stress, we don't have a core. You know why? Who's our core? God's our core. God is our core. So of course we can't handle it because we don't have that. Why? Because we're born in the body. We're born dependent, right? So we'll talk about that. All right, I'm going to ask some questions, right? And so it's an A and B thing. So take out your phones, your pencils, and answer these questions. You don't have to, you know, you can take pictures of the questions, but, you know, for the most part, just whether it's A or B, just make a mental note how many A's and how many B's. We're going to talk about what you believe about stress, okay? The effects of stress in most cases are, in your life, negative and should be avoided, or B, positive and should be utilized. What do you believe? Number two, experiencing stress in most cases inhibits my learning and growth, or B, facilitates my learning and growth. Number three, experiencing stress in most cases depletes my health and vitality, or improves my health and vitality. Number four, experiencing stress in most cases hurts my performance and productivity, or enhances my performance and productivity. So what do you believe about that for yourself? Like, what do you really believe? All right, let's talk. Now, this is the response to what you believe. So walk this out a little bit. When I notice the physical responses of stress, like a roller coaster ride, like speaking in public, right? Like increased heart rate, sweating, etc. So when you experience those physiological responses to stress, I'm more likely to interpret it as I'm about to lose it. I'm about to lose control. Or B, this is my body giving me the energy I need to perform. If I see my ceiling leaking water, I'm most likely to get distracted by my negative thoughts or stuck focusing on the things I can't control. Or B, reflect on what's more important to me in the situation and take purposeful action to bring about my goal and value. When I'm beginning to feel, number seven, when I'm beginning to feel overwhelmed by stress, I usually try to escape and distract myself through social media, TV, alcohol, eating, etc. Or B, talk myself through the situation, gain clarity, and regain focus on the task at hand. When under a lot of stress, I'm more likely to A, isolate myself, or B, reach out to others for help or go out of my way to help others. Last one, when under a lot of stress and someone comes to me to share an unrelated burden or good news, I'm more likely to A, give little attention or dismiss them to get back to what I'm focused on, or B, stop what I'm doing and give my full attention to sharing their burden or joy. All right. How many of you answer mostly A's? Okay. How about mostly B's? Okay. All right. Well, B's are ideal. Okay. As you could. All right. But I appreciate your honesty. And I think, you know, when we're faced with a certain situation, you know, I think one of the things those questions are talking about, where do you turn? Where do you turn? Do you talk to yourself? You know, do you have a core? What is your core? Right? Is it the internet? That's my core. You know, is it aromatherapy? You know, what is your core? You know, like treating yourself? Is it food? Is it internet? Is it social media? You know, whatever it is. All right. Here's the two things that what is stress? Just like all emotions, let's break it down. First of all, do you view stress negatively? Do you respond negatively? And the question is, do you want stress in your life? Do you welcome it? Do you welcome stress? Do you believe it's necessary for your life? If you didn't have a lot of stress and you came here to worship, would worship be meaningful? If you didn't have a lot of stress in your life and you went to pray or have quiet time, would you be moved? Would it be meaningful? And I would say, absolutely not. It's unfortunate, because What we think is distress is necessary in this life because it's just the way God created it. And then what's your mindset about stress? You know, when you see that, oh, if that dishwasher breaks and floods my kitchen, I'm going to lose it. Okay, I'm just talking about Tammy and Robert here. You know, how do we think about if something was to happen, a leak in the roof? You know, you would, I don't know, what do you think about that? Would you go like, oh my gosh, I can't take on a thing like that. You know, Robert and Tammy, you know, I've seen them. They're not going to get a kitchen till October, which is true, right? What do you believe about that? What's your mindset? All right. Before we get to the verses, there's acute stress and there's chronic stress. Acute meaning it's not normal. And it's kind of overwhelming at times. So when acute stress comes on, I immediately engage in self-talk to rehearse the actual truth. The want to and the can do. About my situation so as to what? Focus on the task at hand. So do we do self-talk? Do we rehearse truth so that we can focus? Psalm 42:7 says this, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. That this is a person who is like overwhelmed, completely overwhelmed. And so now he's praying. He's praying honestly, actually. And he says a lot of stuff. God, you know, why have you forsaken me? Like, you know. But then he turns inward and talks to himself, engaging in self-talk. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope. Another translation for that word is wait. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Here's why. Because what we hold in our mind in that moment is not trust. It's not dependence on God and a reminder that he is in control. What we have in our mind is that we better take control. And here's the thing. Here's the thing about emotion. When you think you better take control, it's going to kill you. If you are a control freak, if you're constantly thinking about taking control of your life, it's going to do you in. Pathology will begin to display. You will be stressed. When I say stress, I'm talking about in a negative way. There's no getting out of that. Because, and then if you've been doing that, if your mind is spinning to take control, to have control, again, you're not moving from your core. You're not performing and utilizing your core. It's all arms. It's all legs. And we're flailing. We don't have good form when it comes to that stress. So what is he saying? Because the enemies are taunting him. He's getting overwhelmed. He's about to be overrun. And the old nature is about to flail. You know, take care of yourself, you know, every man for himself, you know, and it's like, take control. It's like saying, there's a turmoil inside. This psalmist was a believer. He's saying, chill out. It's going to be okay. Hope in God. Right? He is my God after all. And step back for a minute. Right? gain clarity. Here's another truth, because we have to rehearse truth. Speak to yourself. No temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, has overtaken you. Now that word temptation is also the word for testing and trial. That is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to what? Endure it. There's a way. Notice when he said escape, we're not talking about avoidance. He's saying there is a way in which we can healthily handle that stress, meaning endure it. There's a way to endure stress that is good for us. And every situation of your life is the promise that God will never give you any stress in your life and a way to handle and manage and think about that stress that you may endure it and gain benefit from that stress. That's a promise to a believer. Philippians 4:11. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. That word is, okay, keep it coming. Keep it coming. See, we lose confidence in our situations. We get overwhelmed in stress. It's because we're losing self-confidence. We're trying to gain it back. When in reality, what is Paul saying? He says, I am to be content. You're not content in yourself. If you were to trust yourself, you would never be content. Not in every situation. You're not God. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. He says every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. What does he say? I can do all things through him who is my core. That's what he's saying. God is my core. You know, I have weak legs. You know, my arms aren't that great, but I have a great core. All right, let's rehearse what we looked at earlier. It says, when acute stress comes on, I immediately engage in what? Self-talk. All right, good. Somebody's remembering. To rehearse the actual truth. The truth of I want to. And I would say practices. For those who hate roller coasters, get on a roller coaster. All right? And don't be afraid. Okay, whatever. Just steer head on. Don't be like, don't close your eyes. Just look out. Start with the kiddie ones, right? Don't do the big Himalayan ones. If it's public speaking, go out and do some public speaking. Let those feelings, the butterflies, let it come up. Practice. And discover your core. That's all I'm saying. Discover your core. See, many of us, here's the thing, in life, you have to discover your core. You have to, when that thing comes on, you have to, like, oh man, just discover your core. Think clearly. Rehearse truth. All right. So we engage in self-talk. We rehearse the actual truth about my situation so as to what? Focus. We don't have to avoid. We don't have to be distracted. You don't need that healing, whatever thing, right? We can focus. We're going to talk about how to do that. When chronic stress is realized, chronic stress is the things that are going on every day. You got kids, you got a job. Oh my goodness. You got a lot of things going on in your life. And then in your job, you got these, you know, you got these supervisors and bosses, and you got these elders at church. Oh my goodness, these guys are unbearable. They're asking too much. Delta, my goodness. I'm stressed. Okay. That may be so. Okay. But here's how we handle the chronic stress. I will turn to God with humility to what? Give control to God. Right? You got to engage in the core. Got to engage the core. And what? Ask. You have not because you what? Ask not. You got to ask. I don't know why. God says you got to ask. If you want to be healed, ask. Now, does he always say yes? No, he sometimes says no. But there's some yeses that you're missing out on. You got to ask. And asking is different than demanding. You know, I asked him, you know, didn't like his answer. No, you got to ask. But again, that control, it's to, and what? Here's the thing. Prioritize my tasks. Oh my goodness. Prioritize. What a dirty word. I will say this. Most of our stresses in life and the way you stress your children, my goodness, you're teaching, we are teaching our children to be greedy. When you want to do everything well and everything perfectly, no. God says, God made us finite. He only gave us 24 hours in a day, and a third of that is given over to sleep. There's not enough time in a day, not enough days in a year. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have to what? Prioritize. Did you know that ER doctors, right, and sports, special forces, Green Berets and SEALs, they're not stressed. They don't come home and, like, stress out. Did you know that? You know why? When you go to the ER, you can have 1,000 people in the waiting room. You know what they do? They prioritize. They'll categorize you. They'll triage you. And realize, you know what? There's some things that can't be done right away. And sometimes there's a term in a hospital. It's called divert. You can go on divert. That means, sorry, we're full. Can't take another patient. It's called prioritizing, right? And that's why when in the Bible it says you don't, you know, like when it's talking about civilians versus soldiers, saying Christians, you're not a civilian. You don't have time for civilian affairs. There are things that we can't engage in. But if you want to be the best golfer in the world, you really want to improve all that, and on top of that, do Delta? Can you do Delta? No, you can't do Delta. Right? But the children, right? Don't forsake the children. It's a pitch for Delta. I know, it's kind of cheesy. But anyway, but the point is, there you have it. You got to prioritize. Here's the thing. If you really want to give God control and you really want to ask for help and you want to have the courage to prioritize your life and teach your children, honestly, and be an example for your spouse, even your parents, if you really want to prioritize, you will have a rich prayer life. But if you go to God and you don't prioritize, if you're stressed, you're not having a good time in prayer, it's because you're not asking for help and you're not prioritizing. But if you are seriously desiring to follow God's way and you prioritize, there's some things you can't, you're going to have to say, no, I can't do that. I don't have enough time in my schedule. And if you want to teach your child, because what is the kingdom life? It's about relationships. We crowd out relationships. And here's the thing. It's relationships that really do us in. Having prayer every day is not the secret. Having prayer and asking with humility and giving God control, thy will be done. That's control. Thy kingdom come is priority, because it says what? Seek first the kingdom. See, the Lord's Prayer is built in with giving God control, prioritizing the kingdom, and asking for help, because what's the last part? Give us this day our daily bread. right? Here's where I'm getting that too. 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting what? All your anxieties on him. See, think about control. The opposite of control is humility. If you're easily stressed, it's because you're proud. You're proud. Humble yourself and give God control. Discover your core. Because he cares for you. See, the thing is, nobody loves us like God loves us. When all forsake, he will never forsake. I mean, if God is your father, parents out there, you know, Robert was talking about it. It's sometimes hard to fathom that God loves us more than I really love my child. It's hard for us to get our minds around that. But he does. Right? And all the circumstances of life is arranged in such a manner as to give you maximum benefit. Now that's a promise to believers, by the way. Philippians 4, 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request, not demand. You hear what I'm saying? Because demand, if you get a little bent out of shape because you asked and you didn't, that's demand. Asking is like, God, you know better than me. That's an acknowledgement you have the control. You have the control because I'm not trying to dictate to you how to do your job as a parent. And only then, what does it say? If you do that, it says, and the peace of God, peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You want peace? Look, boba bass won't do it. Jacuzzis can't do it. Right? Can't. But turning control over to God and differentiating between asking and demanding, right? Praying, the reason it's separate from supplication. Supplication is asking. Praying is talking to God. And Jesus taught us how to talk to God. Right? Talking to God is saying, God, you're God. Hallowed be thy name. You're God. I'm not. You're in control. Thy will be done. Okay? Thy kingdom come. Your priorities, not mine. If we have that mindset, when we go to God, if we don't have that mindset, we want to go to wine. Because Psalms, oh, we've got some guys whining in Psalms. No. Yeah, they whine a little bit. Right? I have to admit, they whine. But you know, say, but then they turn around and say, oh, why are you so downcast, my soul? Why are you so whiny? You know? Praise be to God. They catch themselves. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. There's not a time. Stress reminds us where our trust lies. It just tells us what you trust. It says, do not lean on your own understanding. Here's the thing. If you're not talking to yourself, you're listening to yourself. And if you're listening to yourself, you're listening to your old self. And that's when you trust. You trust your old self. There's a reason God gave you a new self, a new identity, a new heart. You're a new creation. So, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? Make straight your paths. He determines your steps. He tells you your path. Be not wise. Don't think you know better than God. Don't stress out. Don't freak out. Right? In the moments when you're stressed, think carefully. Talk to yourself. Rehearse truth. Matthew 6:31. Do not be anxious. Your Father knows that you need them all. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. That's the priority part. So let's rehearse. Let's go over this now. When chronic stress is realized, I will turn to God with humility to give what? Control to God. Ask for help and prioritize my tasks. If we, every day, that's every day. See, think about it. You do it today and you say, oh, okay, I'm done. No, every day it gets undone. Every day you have to turn over control. Because that's the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? You have to do it every day. And you have to ask every day. And you have to prioritize every day. You'll have a rich prayer life if you understand that. Because every day, if you're having a good life, you'll be stressed. Here's the wonderful thing. You're teaching our children. We're teaching our children how to manage stress. But managing stress, right, is not what we think. Managing stress is about discovering your core, which is God.
All right. Please seek, so here's the third point. Please seek to encourage others in their too much. We're going to notice, okay, our family members, our friends, our church folks, we're all in that too much. We're in a world where it's just too much. So we encourage others in their too much with love and truth. Simple, isn't it? We need each other in each other's words in life. Where I get that? 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. See, think about, Paul wrote this, like, amidst, like, very stressful situation. You know? The early church was really suffering. A lot of stress. You know, like, a lot of people, persecution. Right? And he's saying, look, I don't know why. You can't, you know, oh, it's just between me and God. I'm sorry. Like, the me and God thing just doesn't work. Right? Because God's plan is you and each other and God. So you're going to have to reach out. If you're stressed, you're going to have to talk to other people. Right? I don't know why God created us like that, but he wants us to be brothers and sisters and good friends. So we encourage one another. It's required. And build one another up. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Right? You know, it's just seeing how love and truth can, you know, you just are so weighed down. And it's like coming along somebody and just saying, you ever moved? You know, you ever was lifting a heavy thing? And somebody comes along, right? All you have to do is like touch it or something. I don't know what it is. You're like, oh my gosh, oh, that's so helpful. And it's like, I'm barely touching it. So now if you want me to help you move, I'll go and touch stuff as you move, okay? All right, I'll just like, okay, no. But I'm just saying it's like, it helps. It's amazing. All right, wrap it up. Please seek to encourage others in their too much with what? Love and truth. We need both, right? Don't be that, you know, Robert was talking about that. Oh, let me solve your problems. I know exactly what to do. Take time. Listen. You know, help them process it. You know, love. Just love them. Sometimes they're not in a place to, you know, hear some stuff. But we need encouragement. Encouragement isn't just words, is it? Because it's about building. You know, it's about just being there. There was just one movie. I forgot what it was, the name of it. But these ladies, this lady was going through some serious grief. And the town ladies came. You know what they did? They just weaved. Just came in, didn't say a word, and they just weaved. You know? I got choked up. You know? They were there. They were there. And that's all it was. Sometimes it's just about being there. You know? You don't have to say wise things. You know? It's just, you know, you bring some stuff and you just hang out a little bit. All right. I know our emotions are saying, oh, I know some of you are stressed. And I know those prioritizations, taking things off your plate is really hard. It's really hard. But here's the thing. If you don't, your children are going to grow up. Trust me when I say this. If you don't take some stuff off their plate, they're going to grow up thinking it's just life. Right? It's okay. God will take care of us. We can trust Him. You know? It's okay. You know? And just, we just want us to focus on, you know, our families, like learning how to have good relationships, how to be a good friend, how to be a good brother, sister, and how to be a good spouse. We wanna, you know, and say, enough's enough. You know? And hear the important things. And if that's hard for you, that's why we pray. God, this is really hard for me. You know? And it should be. Because choices like that are extremely difficult. And we go to God saying, God, you know how hard this is. And God is all ears. You know, says, Henry, I'm listening. You know? I'm listening. It's hard. I'm asking a lot. You know? But the answer isn't greed. The answer isn't like, I'll manage. Stress management. The reason I hate sometimes that word, it almost feels like you don't have to take anything out. You know? The kingdom way of managing stress, take out some stuff. Takes courage to take stuff out. You know? Takes courage. But it's okay. As we do that, we have to trust God. Discover the core. Discover courage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we have, God. God, you teach us to trust you. God, help us not to get all clouded in these moments of where we're being overwhelmed, God. And I pray especially, just right now, just for those who are in the midst of just acute stress, you know, where decisions have to be made. I pray for them, God. Just I pray for your Spirit to minister to them, just with love, to bring confidence. God, and just help them. Help them. Help them discover their core. Help them to discover you. That you're not far, yet you're very near. That life, God, you have not tempted them. You have not put trials before them that they cannot handle. So I pray for them, God. And I pray for those who are in the midst of having to make some prioritizations, triaging the things in their lives and the lives of their family members. Help them, God. Help them. Watch over them. Give them courage and trust as they look to you to make the tough decisions. Help them, God. And I pray right now, just, I especially pray, Lord, for those who are not used to talking to themselves in the middle of stress. God, I pray just that you would give them a voice, God. A voice that comes from you, that is of you, of the new heart. And just I pray, Lord, you would help them to have clarity. Just help them to have you, the truth. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.